Yes, this is the Mark Haney Show, and we are on a mission to ignite the entrepreneurial revolution right here in the hometown we love. And you know what? On this show, we tell stories of winning, stories of perseverance. And, you know, you always think about it, like, what inspires you? Where do you get your, where do you get your information or the things that go into your mind that help shape you, that help kickstart you in a way that, that others can't? And for me, it's hearing the stories of people who are successful. And those success stories, there's a lot of similarities, but sometimes they're different. Today we have one, I think, that's got some differences, but it's got some similarities. And one of the similarities that it has is perseverance. This one is truly a story of a man who has figured out a way to overcome extreme obstacles and build this incredible business and have all this entrepreneurial success. Today we have Captain Augustine Joseph. He is the CEO and president of Advanced International Aviation Academy. It is JetX, and they are really doing something special right here in Sacramento. They are teaching people how to fly, but it is much, much more than that. Stick around, my friends. I think you're going to love Augustine's story, but you're also going to be inspired. And now it is my pleasure to introduce to you Captain Augustine Joseph. He is an entrepreneur. He's got a story of perseverance. I think he's got a lot of stories about perseverance and the mindset that you need to have in order to win. But he's also built this amazingly cool business around aviation. He's the CEO of Advanced International Aviation Academy and Jet EXE. Is that?
It's written Jet EXE, but it's set JetX.
Ah, JetX. Yep. Well, that's a great name. So let's get to know you a little bit. I've obviously built you up in terms of your entrepreneurial prowess, but maybe we can just get a little bit of your background, because you didn't start off as a successful entrepreneur. What happened?
Not at all. It was just another young kid, you know, floating around with dreams, you know, to create your own dreams and work towards that and figure out how to achieve them. Mm. So I believe that, you know, right from a young age, having to pretty much navigate my own life, that one has to build what you want in your mind first.
Mm-hmm. One of the times, sometimes I argue I take the position that people don't dream quite big enough. Because, I mean, there's so many things we can achieve, but for whatever reason, we put our limiting belief system into our personality, and it's like, I don't know, that seems like a little bit of a stretch. How big should we be dreaming?
You need to have a passion for what you dream for.
Okay.
If you don't have a passion for what you're dreaming for, then you can dream of anything, but you may not work towards getting it.
Yeah.
So you got to first find that passion and then dream big.
Okay, so decide what you love, and then create a bigger dream about it. That's interesting. One of my mottos is immerse yourself in what you love. Because once you sort of know what you like, or you're discovering what you like, and then until you really dive in hard to create how you can turn it into something big, or, you know, the real problem you might be solving in entrepreneurship, you need to be involved. You got to be a little bit hands-on. So
absolutely.
Why don't we go back in time, though? So what was your initial big dream? Because you've done a lot of things. How did it start?
Well, my big dream was to be a pilot and be a fighter pilot.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, as a child growing up in India, where your resources are very limited, you don't have a whole lot of choices, and the competition is very high with a high population of educated people, you know, and the resources and the opportunities are low. So your competition is really high if you want to achieve anything. And when you have to figure it out yourself, then you know that it's either do it or just be in the crowd. So you start focusing and you find your passion and you start building your own self, in the sense, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody's going to believe in you.
Mm.
So the whole world typically tells you, hey, it's going to be hard for you. Right?
Yeah.
But then if you don't turn around and say, you know what, I'm going to find a way and I'm going to prove it to myself that I'm good, and only then can you get anywhere. So when I was in high school and all of that, I just messed around for a little while and then figured out, hey, if I mess around, I'm not getting anywhere. You know, I see around me what's going on. So then I had to focus what I really want. What drives me? What motivates me? Is it just sitting and reading and getting marks and, you know, being A plus in everything? Or do you want to really focus on what you want and go for it? You got to have motivation. That's what's lacking in most of the people, because we are asking them to do something which they're really not interested in.
Mm,
so you got to find their interest. So that's what I found in myself.
So you decided you wanted to be a fighter pilot?
Yeah.
That's pretty intense. Okay, so what happened? You decided that you had the big dream, and then what occurred? Because not everybody can be a fighter pilot.
Obviously, your environment also decides on your dreams.
Okay.
You know, if you live in a small village somewhere, your dreams may not be, your exposure and your environment may not give you those dreams. So I happened to live next to an airport, and I saw these big jets coming in and going out. And I saw all this training going on there with small planes. But then I knew that, you know, I'm not going to ask somebody for money to help me become a commercial pilot or something, because it's a lot of money. That's one. So what's the other way? Go to the Air Force and become a fighter pilot. So obviously it's a very, very, very small number of people that are selected for that. And there's a big, you know, selection process, which takes months. And then years after that, after training, you become one. So I went through what's called the, you know, service selection board, which where I grew up as an Indian. And, you know, from starting with about 400,000 applicants who write an exam to get into it, for about 40 actual cockpits that you can, 40 seats who get into final training, you start off with the 400,000. There's put you through, you know, long 1 week interview in their campus. And from there, they start narrowing it down to about 4,000. And from the 4,000, finally, after all the tests and medical and your leadership skills and all that, psychology tests and things like that, they come up with about 400 to start training. And then 4 years of training. And then you end up becoming. So I had to be competitive. That's key.
Yeah.
Be competitive. You know that, you know, if you want to achieve something, be competitive. And then, obviously, your capabilities are judged by the system and the environment. And they'll pick whether you fit there. And obviously, you know, you got to work hard to get where you want and have your dreams. And every day, I learned these things later. But in the initial process of things was, how do I get in and get by? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
That was the attitude. So then I found that I'm not really excelling in many things, because once I get in there, my interest is finished. In the sense, I've achieved it kind of thing. Rather, at some point in my life, I had to figure out, you know, every day has to be a challenge. If you don't look forward to your day, then you're wasted a day towards your success.
I agree.
Every single day has to be a challenge.
How did your military experience, I know that it wasn't easy, how did it prepare you to have the right mindset for becoming an entrepreneur?
Well, the military really prepared me in many different ways. One is it taught me that you got to have discipline, to organize your day, to organize your life, to have goals, to be responsible for things, you know, whether there's literally no excuses if you don't get things done.
Mm-hmm.
So all of these kind of things, and it also taught me how to push my envelope. It taught me that there is really no limit to human ability. It's up to you, to limit yourself. So And looking for those opportunities to keep pushing your boundaries and pushing your envelope, not being stupid, but to whenever you find an opportunity to do it, you know.
Okay, well, let's talk about what your business is today, and then I want to we'll backtrack in time and go and take us through the kinds of things that you've had to persevere through in order to build what you have today. So today you have this very successful aviation academy and business. You went out there and taught me a few years back. You attempted to teach me how to fly a plane. I don't know if we were very successful, but I got to go in your simulator, and for whatever reason, we never brought you onto the show, and we finally got you here. So what does the business look like today? Because when I toured it, it was like, this is a cool business for somebody who wants to become a pilot.
Yeah, first off, Advanced Aviation Academy, Sacramento. Sacramento is one of the best places to conduct aviation training. It's one of the best places.
Why is that?
Multiple reasons. I was looking at, as you know, I have done several other businesses before I got to this. Prior to this, I was in a tech business running a healthcare technology software and also developing softwares, networking hospitals, and that was for actually helping people who didn't have insurance to travel to many different countries or consult doctors in other places to get their treatment for even if they don't have insurance. So that all of my life I have done businesses which has a meaning to me. So that business originated because I was in the hospital for about 2 years after a helicopter crash. And then I saw how difficult it is to get healthcare for many people. And I knew around the world there are places they could get. So from the wheelchair, I started building that. You know, while I was in a wheelchair, they told me I would never walk because, you know, I had spine injuries.
Walk me through that story. What happened?
Well, I was running a helicopter company in Hawaii. And during one of the flights over the volcano, morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm flying with all the passengers on board and listening to nice music on the CDs. And it's like a beautiful flight. You're supposed to talk to all of them and, you know, give them a nice... Suddenly, the engine fails. It's a turbine engine. Right off while I'm flying across the volcano. And the engine fails. And suddenly there's silence, because it's normally loud, the helicopter.
Right.
And silence, and then I hear, I remember still, it was Jethro Tull's flute that was coming on the music.
Ah.
And now all you can hear is the blades swishing, you know, the noise of the blades in the wind. And I was only about 400 or 500 feet off the ground, which means I'm really close and there's no time to respond or react. But quickly, all my training in the military and all the flying training that I've had is about putting your fears behind, getting the situation under control, and acting to make it a positive outcome. It's never the fear that should, you know, that should be in your focus. So I had something like 13 to 15 seconds from the time my engine failed to hitting the ground. I knew there was no place to land because it's a volcano slope. There's lava, you know, the popcorn rock. There's no flat land. Mm. And it's full of fuel. It's the first flight in the morning. So all of my, you know, senses and everything came into overdrive. And I said, there's only one spot behind me that I crossed about a few seconds before. It was in my head already. And I, in that 15 seconds, I put it in what is called an autorotative process, where you can glide the helicopter with the blade spinning. It's falling through the sky. But then when you're getting close to the ground, you do what's called a flare and try to, you know, put it down. So we did that and put it on that spot. Everybody survived. But I told them all to brace up before the impact, because it's all happening in 15 seconds.
How fast did you, were you dry? Okay, so 12 to 15 seconds, but you're 500 feet up. I mean, did it feel like free fall to everybody, or was it gradual? Did it feel gradual?
It's a very high rate of
Okay, you're dropping hard.
You're dropping fast.
Okay.
But not like just a smooth, like in a glide. In a helicopter, when you don't have an engine and you're coming down, it's almost like you see those things that your top that you can spin in the air, you know, like it flies and comes down. It's the same process.
So it's coming down
at a very fast pace, but when you get close to the ground, you use that free, you know, windmilling. There's no engine. It's windmilling.
Is it just the momentum from what the engine being on before?
No. When you're diving down, when you're coming down, the air
makes it turn. Okay.
Yeah, it's like windmilling it.
Okay.
So when you get close to that ground, you use that windmilling speed of the blades to kind of cushion your crash.
Okay.
So pretty much that's what I did at about 11,000 feet high.
And you landed with the bottom, what are those, skids on the bottom?
Skids and everything opened up, broke. Because obviously, you know, when you're higher up in the, you know, atmosphere, the air is thin. And the helicopter or an aircraft performs kind of less. The ability to perform is less when you're higher in the air.
Okay.
So the impact was not high enough to kill anybody, but it was high enough to, you know, kind of get hurt. Mm. But everybody survived, and, you know, pretty much I survived. I had some injuries on my spine, and that was another chapter of my life, you know, learning to, first just learning to live again, you know. I was told I'd never walk or run because my spinal cord was injured, several of my vertebrae were fractured, skull fracture, and many, many injuries. So going through the process of rebuilding life again, started from there.
Yeah, but you had other setbacks along that journey too that were not just major injury. You went through other things.
Yeah. There were many other things that went along with it. You know, where you wonder whether what you're doing is right, in the sense, what direction are you going? Mm. You see what I mean? So you have to sit back and think a little bit if you want direction.
Mm.
You got to first find your inner self.
Right.
So to rebuild myself, it was more of my mind fighting my body, not actually fighting, the fight to get back, make my body work for me. So, in fact, all the doctors were, you know, wanting to know how I was doing it. And they would call me for their lectures to explain to them what was helping me recover when they knew that they couldn't do any more for me.
And it started with your mind.
With your mind. See, your mind is everything. Your whole world is your mind. And if you can create what you want in your mind, if you want to be happy, you can just create happiness in your mind. So if you can create happiness in your mind, your body starts to work for you. And that's what I really did. But I spend a couple of hours every day in the swimming pool with, you know, the floaties on, trying to walk in the water, you know, in the pool. Almost 3 to 4 hours a day I would spend in the gym and in the water to get back. So that process, I met many people in the hospital who had to literally sell their homes to get their medical treatment. I met many people who literally told me, my family is gone because I have so many bills to pay, and things like that. So I said, you know what, when I recover, I'm in a state to do something. I want to create a company that I can help some of these people. So that's when I started this network of hospitals around the world, and then having people travel to many countries for their surgeries, things like that. It grew to a network of over 12,000 locations where people could go.
Wow.
In 42 countries. And I got, you know, to a point that I was working like crazy again. And then I said, I should get back to flying.
Ah.
And that's when I, you know, sold out and moved into flying and started another company, which I say it's time to give now from what I've got. So
what kind of person, now that you've, that's interesting because you had all this success, you've had the tragedy, you've had military experience, excuse me, you've had a really interesting life, and now it looks like to me the coolest job in the world to be up in the aircraft, helping people to achieve their dream of learning to fly. Describe that.
To me, I'm not teaching flying. I'm just running an aviation academy, a school. But more than actually seeing people learning to fly, I see people changing their lives. So our focus in our school is to not just teach flying, but to make them understand their potential, give them opportunities to understand their potential, and then guide them and mentor them to succeed in life in every different way. That's pretty much the process. And we can see, you know, young people come in very timid and with a dream. And then after a few months, you should see them change. Even their personality changes. The moment they start getting their first solo flight done or get their first license, it's like they're on top of the world. That, you know, the world is now their playground. You know, they're enjoying it. They're enjoying their success. And they see their life change. They see, you know, how their relationships change. Everything is changing.
Wow, because they've developed confidence.
It is all about, I tell people, it's all about your self-image and your self-esteem. There are two things that you're playing with.
Okay. What's the difference between self-image and self-esteem? How would you describe the difference between those two?
These are all things that I've tried to understand myself, because I spent a lot of time, in my young days, I spent a lot of time in monasteries, in the Himalayas, in different places, understanding about all the religions and the scriptures, and why is the world like this? You know, I spent a lot of time, because as a fighter pilot, I'm taught to go kill.
Right.
I'm taught to go alone, like a Spartan, going into combat, and why is the world doing all this? So there's a lot of introspection that I do all the time, and that's where these things came into me. So what I understood is, if somebody can actually balance both their self-esteem and self-image, and there is no mismatch between the two, then they can be successful.
So self-image is how we believe other people view us?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. What you think.
What you think other people think of you. Yeah. If anybody listening, so what you think other people think of you really is your self-image.
That's your self-image.
Okay.
That what you think in your head, that the world thinks about you.
Yeah. Right? So, and then, okay, so then what's self-esteem then? How does that differentiate?
Self-esteem is what you really feel inside you, who you are.
Oh.
What you feel, are you comfortable with it? Are you happy with it? What do you really feel within you?
Do you love yourself?
Do you love yourself?
Okay.
Do you have hope for yourself? Do you have happiness inside you? If we are not looking inside, we don't find any of these things.
Right.
So we got to look at it, and then, or just be just a, you know, passenger in a bus called life.
Yeah. I meet a lot of people. I sometimes will go speak to groups about how to win and things like that. And it seems to me that so many people get in this set of routines, get up, go to work, take care of the kids, run. They're basically rushing and trying to become successful. They don't spend enough time. They don't take the opportunity to stop and set back from it for a little bit and do the self-reflection or the introspection that you want to do when you want to look at what makes you tick. People, they don't want to give themselves the time to stop. I don't know why they don't. I do a little bit of that myself. I stop and think about where I want to go.
Absolutely.
But a lot of people do not.
First off, there's too many distractions being thrown at us in the current world. Distractions are coming at us from every direction, defining what we should be. Mm-hmm. They're telling us through TV, they're telling us through every different, you know, media, or even in our society, in our peer groups, everything. They're telling you what you should be to call yourself happy or tell yourself that you're successful. They tell you.
Right.
rather than you defining for yourself what is happiness, what is success. Because if your definition of success is planting a tree and having fruits in it, you are successful and you're happy.
Yes.
So it's how you define your own happinesses and successes and challenges to keep your life interesting, to keep your life challenging, to keep yourself feeling good about living. Because in the end, that's all that matters. In the end, your life and you didn't ask for a life, really. You came into this world and you were thrown into all these rules and regulations and all these different things about how to live. But ultimately, your job is to live a good life, a happy life, and to all those people around that you affect, you should be of some good. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has expectations, but again, expectations are the causes for all problems. You see what I mean? So,
true.
Yeah, expectations are always going to be a problem. So it's on how you have that inside you. And your success doesn't mean how you have, you know, 30 digits on your bank account. Yeah. Your success doesn't mean that you have to have a big house or your business has to grow into a $1 billion business. Your success is about how you live. And the more you start thinking about others, how you're affecting other people's lives, the bigger and greater your life becomes, just like you are doing, Mark.
Well, I am attempting to help my brothers and sisters of entrepreneurship. It's really, and my family, the community. But it's, we all try to, you know, I found something that I loved, as you mentioned. It's like, I really believe in the power of entrepreneurship. I've had a little bit of experience there. No big dream at the moment, but I'm going to go get involved. And now I do have big dreams associated with entrepreneurship, and I have a team of people that are helping me to work toward those. But what's your big dream today? You've built this company now. You're on to career number whatever in the Aviation Academy. What do you want to do with that, and what's the larger vision for you and your life?
So the focus on the business aspect of my life, which is obviously I spend a lot of time there. Almost half my life is spent with the people there. So there are two areas which in the aviation industry that I'm focused on. One is in the aviation training, which is Advanced International Aviation Academy. We are the FAA approved school, and we are internationally accredited to bring in international students from all over the world to train. So they're bringing all the revenue into the country and spending it here and learning and getting their licenses and going and being pilots in other places, and they are teaching other people. So that's one path that, you know, that what you're putting in is helping people grow in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So we've reached a point that it is now going into the next level. It's the largest school in this region right now. And it is one of the best schools as far as I know.
Yeah. I love that people are coming in from around the world yeah. and spending their dollars
yes.
in Sacramento. I mean, that's great that's economic impact.
And not just the world. There are hundreds of schools in the United States, but we are happy to find out that people are moving from New York and Florida and places where they have so many schools to come specifically to our school. Because they've heard about our quality. We've been flying tens of thousands of hours every year, and not one incident or accident. Touch wood, we'd like to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no school that can say that, because you're giving airplanes to 15, 16-year-old kids to to go train on.
Okay. So what's the youngest you can learn?
There is no age limit. Okay. I mean, the lower limit to learn. We have had 10-year-olds come there and, learn. But to fly alone, you got to be 16.
Okay.
And then to get your first license, you have to be 17. And to get a commercial license, you got to be 18. And the industry is great because there is a very high demand for pilots all around the world. They have estimated or forecasted a need for nearly 700,000 pilots in the airline industry in the next 15 years. So they can't even find in a pilot. So what's happening now is all the airlines are trying to create their own schools so they can get, you know, enough students. The other thing they're doing is airlines are now going to schools like ours and pre-hiring or pre-enrolling those students into their programs that, hey, you finish this program, we'll hire you. So don't go to anybody else. Mm-hmm. We're going to give you some benefits. We're going to give you, you know, free travel and all of that, so you come to us.
Do you guys accept the GI Bill? Do you have a...
We are in that program.
Oh, okay.
We are actually doing the renewal of that, the process for that, GI Bill, and we want to really help all the veterans.
Yeah.
We also, in fact, last week I contacted the Veteran Employment Department because we want to hire, you know, veterans into our maintenance programs, and we have a repair and maintenance overhaul facility.
And so some of our listeners know that my son Marcus was in the military, and we started an organization called Allegiant Giving, and we have something called Patriot U, where we help veterans transition out of the military to get great jobs. And there's typically some training that that needs to happen. And but I don't know that we have anything where they can learn to be to fly a plane, to be a pilot. But that GI Bill for our audience, that helps pay the bills for the person that's transitioning out of the military. Right? The military helps basically fund the training.
Yeah. They have a program where they fund all the training to become a commercial pilot, except for the initial license, which is a private pilot license. They want to know you're really serious about this profession, and so they want you to first do your private. Mm-hmm. Rest is funded by them. And if you look at it as a career, it is such a great career where you have such high demand for pilots. Your cost of becoming a pilot is somewhere between $50,000 to $60,000 and just 1 year of training. And then you have a commercial license.
Wow.
And you know, an airline, right now the airline pilots are commanding an hourly wage, the captains, senior captains, between $400 to $450 an hour.
Oh, goodness.
You see what I mean? And so it's such a great profession. You don't have an office environment, or you're not in an office showing up every day. You're flying from one place to another. So people who have dreams, they pick this kind of a profession.
Mm. Especially, I can imagine people who want to see the world. Plus, it's like there's definitely a respect that we all have as passengers of a plane for the person flying the plane, right? It's like immediate respect for that person because he's got our lives in his hands.
Absolutely.
He must know what he better know what he's doing.
That's why we have that respect, you know? Yeah. We, it's just like, you know, hey, there's somebody up there who has our life in their hand. Or, I mean,
God.
And the next is, oh, this guy's now got his, you know, he's got my life. Oh, he or she.
Yes.
He's got my life in their hand. So that kind of a respect automatically comes. And, you know, as I believe, the two things that drive somebody is either your ability to motivate yourself to something or your fear, which is the tiger behind you. Mm. And most people are being chased by that tiger of success behind, not chasing the tiger of success ahead of them.
Okay, so the tiger behind them or the tiger in front of them? That's interesting that you say that. So the tiger behind you, is that your mom or your dad, or, you know, making somebody proud of you?
It could be many things that the society or your family, the family or the society is expecting of you to look proud and successful. So you're being chased by this thing that the society is asking of you. Your family is asking of you. What life in your environment and your understanding has taught you, you want to be successful. You want to be good. You want to be happy, right?
So
that's a tiger, which you're getting chased by that. And constantly you have this fear, the anxiety, the, you know, frustration, because it's getting behind very close all the time. Or you can say, listen, I'm going to find the tiger that I want to chase.
Imagine the tiger that you could have, I could have if I was to take some action.
Yeah. You go find that tiger, which is going to challenge you, which you're going to find exciting chasing through the forest, because obviously business or life or entrepreneurship, everything is like a forest. There are no books written about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's, yes. You could read the book, but you might as well throw it out the window because it is hand to hand. For those of you that might not be entrepreneurs yet, it is a full contact sport. It is like you don't know what you how you're going to get knocked down.
Absolutely. So. But then you should be up for that challenge to make it exciting. You know, fear is a great thing. As a pilot, you know, you are dealing with it all the time. As a fighter pilot, you are dealing with even more. You're going into conflict or going into an engagement with another fighter pilot who also thinks he's great. Mm-hmm. And they both have weapons and both know that only one goes home. It's like an NFL, but only one team goes home.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
And it's so, life or death
so
in that moment.
You have to mentally prepare and use that fear in you for your own benefit and make it exciting. Only then can you wake up every morning excited about that one more day of excitement, challenge. Life is not going to be without problems. But if you flip that coin and say, you know, this is a challenge, another challenge I have to. So it becomes how you look at it, whether you look at it as a problem or as a challenge, and how are you going to make this exciting and good?
Why do you think so many people don't have that tiger in front of them that inspires them to get after it really hard, to work really hard to make it happen? So many people, you see that in your, you probably see some of that in your students. Some people have a bigger ambition than others.
A lot of times, each one, and I say that you got to have the four C's if you want to balance yourself. Four C's, what I talk in English, alphabet C, right? Mm-hmm. One is your competence on whatever you do. So you got to perform to a point, learn, understand to improve your competence. Then your competitiveness, which means, hey, you're not going to be playing in the park all your life. You want to move up to the university or, you know, college levels and then go to the NFL. If you don't have that competitiveness, you're never going to go up there. If you're happy playing in the park, that's fine too.
Yeah.
You see what I mean? But then you don't want to call that your line of business. If you are in any line of business, you want to be good at it. So you want to constantly work towards that. And the third is your ability to communicate verbally or non-verbally so that you know where you are. If you don't know, if all the radio silence, then you don't know what the hell is going on around you.
Yeah. And if you can't communicate, who's going to help you to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to communicate. You got to talk to people who you know can help you in every way. Like if somebody who's in school listening to this or college or whatever, you have to find your own path. There's nobody who's going to find your way for you. You got to find your own path, but always believe in yourself. And communicate well enough, communicate with always positive outcomes. A lot of people communicate which bring negative outcomes.
Yes, they do.
So you got to think about your outcome first. What do I want from it? And then communicate with a positive outcome so it actually, you know, manifests for you.
Yes, and it's attractive to others.
Yeah, it
is. Most people don't want to follow somebody who's negative. They want to follow somebody who has aspirations for doing something important.
Absolutely. And then, you know, when you're in a group, the third C, which I was talking about, is about being compassionate always. In anything you do, you got to have compassion. You got to think, you know, what if I am them? And think for them a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, that's what's lacking in business world. And business is all about me. And the environment we live in is also like that. It's all about me. Mm. And people get so blinded by that, you know, in the end, they're always unhappy. And nothing is satisfying for them. And you see successful people even, you know, having to go to the psychiatrist to get medication. Mm-hmm. Really, when you look at them, you see they're successful. But in the end, they are not happy or successful in their own self.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of that, you know, what you defined for
yourself. Yeah, yeah. I think compassion is a, I love that word because I think is one of our my mantras is nobody builds a truly great company alone. And if you don't demonstrate compassion for others, people will not follow you. So you got to communicate. You got to be compassionate. You got to be competitive. And there was one more.
First is your competence in any field.
Oh, competence, yeah.
Competence. And one more C, which is there, which you don't have much to do with, is basically your capability in the environment you're in. Means, well, maybe inherently you have some disadvantage in the environment you're in. So you have a choice to change your environment. That's what I did.
I did that too. I was going to be a professional football player. Yes. And it's just like, you know, I don't know if I have the capability.
Yeah. When you recognize that, you change your environment. You have a choice to either, you know, keep, you know, spinning a wheel there or change your environment. Well, that's what I did when I decided I want to do something which in aviation, I want to be in the most fertile grounds for that. So that's when I moved to this country. Many years ago, in the 90s, because I wanted to put myself where I want to be, because aviation, about 55% of the world's aviation happens in the United States. I said, hey, let me go to the Disneyland of aviation, or, you know, go to the toy store. You got to keep that excitement and dream, obviously, to make these things happen. So that's the four C's that I was talking about.
I love it.
You know?
Okay, so we only have a few minutes left, but I want to make sure this is great wisdom. It's a very inspiring story. What else do we need to know about your business so that we can understand that and what the vision is for that? And then maybe we'll have you leave it with some words of wisdom. But let's talk a little bit about your business and draw us into that a little bit more.
Okay, so the whole idea is when I started with one airplane, and I can't even count on it. We have over 20 airplanes right now, training so many instructors. People from all over the world are coming to train in Sacramento. It's got the best weather. It's got the best environment. It's in a city where most other small airports are outside the city. They don't have a life. The students don't have a life. So it's a great fertile environment for building a university of aviation. So we are now in the process of that. We have reached a point where we are now turning it into a university program. We are working on the accreditations and certifications for that. So we want to make Sacramento a hub for aviation training, aerospace science. And once we have that process, there are many other professional courses that we can conduct.
Okay.
From aviation management to technology, all of those can be added on. I believe that education, if you want peace in the world, or if you want the world to progress, education is the number one thing. Education makes people think better, and obviously people make better decisions.
Yes.
And then you have better life. So my family has been in education, my mother, my grandmother. So it's in the blood too, about, you know, bringing education into the society so the society is being affected and they prosper. And in the end, you look at yourself saying, hey, I was able to do something about the world I lived in. Yes. You know, that's the bigger picture.
Yeah, well, that's quite a vision for becoming the place in the world, the destination to learn about aviation, if they came. I mean, they are coming here to you, but as you build that out, that is going to be spectacular.
And for Sacramento, it's a fantastic opportunity. There are many other places that want to pull you to them because they're giving you all benefits and tax benefits and things like that. But I believe that, you know, the environment, though we have certain disadvantages, we have a lot more advantages being in Sacramento to build a university for aviation, to build a place of learning And we are thinking, you know, we're talking there are about 5 or 6 universities in the world like that, mm-hmm. at that level, to build it out into a university like Andrew Riddle. I would say a handful. So we are in that process. We are looking at it as a 4 to 5 year process by the time we build out to what we really want us to be. Wow. And we are very, our company's motto itself is defining excellence. Defining excellence is our company's internal motto for everybody who is there. The other, our work ethic is do more, do better. So we remind ourselves that in our meetings. We remind ourselves to each other. And I see somebody doing something great, tell them, do more, do more. Better.
Hey, good job, but don't get comfortable.
And there we go. AIAA, which is our, you know, Advanced International Aviation Academy.
I love it.
So that's great. It's like make them also feel that they achieved something.
Yeah.
So
I love that. I think we can all take something away from that. But maybe some final words to the entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs out there that might be helpful for them and their journey.
Find what you want with life. Find that passion in you. Yeah, you may not find it right off the bat. You have to try a few. There is nothing called failure. It's only a learning process. So attempt what you want to, but put your heart into it, put your mind into it, and work hard on it. Bring more people together, because you know, you may think you have the greatest idea, but there's somebody else who can tell you something better about it. So bring other people to talk to you, you know, bounce your ideas off, or maybe even help you achieve what you want. But never ever think that something is beyond your ability to achieve. You just have to find the resources to achieve it. So that's what I believe. And we start chasing things like from morning till night, and then we don't even know that we lived that day. My thing every morning when I wake up early at 5 or so. And first 30 minutes, I don't touch my phone. You know, I'd spend that 30 minutes to pretty much meditate about how I want my day and how I don't want my day also. I say what I should watch out to stop myself from getting there, right? And unless I have that plan in my mind that day, if I start off with something, it'll go sideways. It's not going to be productive. It's not going to be positive. But I'm learning. So, and there are a lot of rabbit holes we jump into in a day. And we got to remember that, hey, you're going into a rabbit hole, pull yourself out, keep your focus on what you want. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So these are some of the things I would tell entrepreneurs. First is, you know, there are so many resources out there unless you reach out to, like, look at Mark. He's found his way and he's doing so great. But you put the time, you put in your mind what you want. Unless you put it in your mind, you don't even go out to meet somebody,
right?
So the same way, we network because we want something. It's not because I want to always, you know, have a beer with Mark or somebody. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's what you put in your mind what manifests. So be careful on what you put in your mind.
Be careful what you put in your mind,
yes.
Because it will likely manifest. Augustine Joseph, he is obviously a wealth of knowledge, but so successful. And really, thank you so much for being so generous with your viewpoints and with your story. And thank you for what you do for our community. Really
thank
appreciate
you so
it.
Much. And lastly, I'd like to say something.
Yeah.
Which is from the scriptures, many different scriptures from the Gita. I read and understand different scriptures from the Bible, to the Gita, to the Quran, all of those different things. And one of the things that says there, for entrepreneurs, right? Man or nothing is given unto you unless it is given to you from heaven. Nothing is given to you unless it is given to you from heaven. And the next line says, and heaven is within you. So if you create that inside you, you're going to give it to yourself.
And heaven. heaven is within you.
Yes.
Words of wisdom. I'm gonna rewatch this podcast, re-listen to it. It's on YouTube. But this is so many nuggets. But really, it begins with how we think and our mindset. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you,
what's
Mark.
On your mind.
It was really a pleasure. It's really another beautiful chapter to be with you and spend time with you.
Thank you. Welcome back to the Mark Haney Show. And today we were inspired, we were educated, and I hope we, at some level, we were all connected to Captain Augustine Joseph's story. It really hit home for me because he's this incredible, he's a war hero in his own country, and he comes over here and overcomes all these challenges and figures out a way to succeed and comes out. And now he's helping the next one in line. Such a tremendous story. And, you know, you think about that and what inspired it's stories like this that have inspired me not only to do this show, but to build something called The Growth Factory. And we've launched The Growth Factory. It's a world-class accelerator with an accompanying venture fund and The Backyard Advantage. And it's all about helping entrepreneurs, helping early-stage founders figure out a way to get over the hump, figuring out a way to have real success and make a real impact. The Growth Factory has something we're calling The Backyard Advantage. We've assembled the leaders of Sacramento to support the most promising startups, right? And these connections are powerful. I mean, you think about this. If we have 99 investors, we have 99, we're working on 99 corporate partners, and we have like 99 mentors. And between these roughly 300 people, we know virtually everybody in the region, or we can find an avenue to get there. And so these founders have access to really anyone they want to know in the region. So if you have interest in being a part of the Growth Factory, if you're a startup, we are getting ready to start our next cohort in May. And so you need to be thinking about getting to know us and maybe turning in your application. You can go to growthfactory.us and you can find out more information, and you can actually fill out an application online. You can hit me up on social media and we can get you sort of plugged in to this opportunity that is the Growth Factory. And a special salute out there to everybody out there fighting the good fight for our freedom, for our security, and our way of life. And of course, you know, this show is all about supporting the entrepreneurs. And so all you entrepreneurs out there fighting the good fight for entrepreneurship, you know, here at the Growth Factory and at the Mark Haney Show, we're never above you. We're never below you. We're always by your side.
Thank you. This segment includes the personal knowledge, experiences, and opinions about angel investing by seasoned angel investors. This content is for informational purposes only and should not be considered as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. Nothing in this segment constitutes a solicitation, recommendation, or endorsement.